Let's get back to more Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
This place is so cool. It's so cool. I mean, you don't get this anywhere else. I was up in Boston earlier this year for something and walking around Fenway. Obviously, it's a cool place, incredible deal. But coming out, they don't have Gallagher Way. They don't have, you know, the shops and the bars and the buildings and just the feel that you get when you walk in, you know, walk around here. Fans love it here. I love it here. It's such a great place to be, great place to play, and it's so unique. You know, there's no other ballpark like it.
It's John Lester talking about Wrigley from yesterday. All those former players and Joe Maddon and more there yesterday at Wrigley. Good afternoon. If you are in the car on your way to the Cubs game, you are listening to the station that will bring you that. The Cubs Radio Network is on right here on 104.3 The Score. Coming up at about 12:45, Judson Richards will be doing pregame, and he'll have a piece of Craig Counsell from the pregame for you. I'll also have a piece of Craig Counsell's pregame for you in the final segment of this show. Tyler Buterbaugh in helping out a little bit this hour. David Dykstra, the producer of Hit and Run. My name is Matt Spiegel, and I love getting a chance to talk baseball with you all. And I'll tell you what, being connected to the radio station and the Cubs Radio Network in 2016 was without a doubt one of the great experiences of my adult life. Watching all of that happen as a talk show host and getting to go to a lot of games, either as media or as a fan during that season, and seeing it all come to fruition was remarkable. And really because I had a chance to watch all five of the years that preceded it, among others. Been covering baseball in this town on and off since 1994, you know? So look, but watching those 5 years and the immaculately executed rebuild that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and Jason McLeod did in kind of dissecting every bit of baseball operations and ripping it apart and putting it back together and building it up, and how it all worked with the assemblage of players and prospects and coaches and managers and free agents and kids and ballpark. As the ballpark was getting renovated at the exact same time, that's how it's supposed to work. That is exactly the blueprint for how every team that has ever tried it is supposed to get it done. They went from the worst team in baseball when they didn't prioritize winning on the major league level for the first couple years to, hey, this team might be doing something in year three, to, hey, look at that, it's a bonus year. And they made it all the way to the NLCS in year four, including beating the Cardinals in the playoffs. You remember that night in 15 when they passed the organizational standard that was also the divisional rival on the way? And then they hit 2016 as the favorite to win the World Series, and Joe Maddon teaches them to embrace the target. And they were terrific. Came out of the gate flying. All of that. You know what happened. You were there. And so was I. And I got to tell you, personally, having met my girlfriend that year, who then became my wife and is now my wife, and having my father and my brother happen to be in town in late October and getting a chance with that foursome to go to World Series game number three, the first World Series game at Wrigley Field since, what, 1955, I believe, right? Or is it 1945 against Cleveland and one of the Hal Newhouser years. Getting a chance to go to that with my dad? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's one of the most memorable nights of my life, getting to walk him in and hold his arm the way he used to hold my arm to keep me steady when I was a little kid. I now had to do that for him at age 83 at the time. I mean, it's just unbelievable personal memories mixed in with professional agendas and professional memories, and then getting to be at that World Series. But even before that, I mean, my son is 14. Maybe you've heard him be a call screener on this show. Getting to feel that postseason even with him. I took him to one of the Giants games, and we sang Go Cubs Go in the stands of that Giants game. Must have been game number two. And then a few nights later, when they came back and won game four out in San Francisco, I let him stay up late at age four to watch that game in some really bad parenting that I'll never regret. And he had a chance to stand up in the bed and try to sing along with Go Cubs Go, even though it wasn't happening on the TV because the game was on the road. You know, I mean, just unbelievable personal memories all mixed in. And then being there in Cleveland for the World Series, making the difficult decision after game six to stay there as the radio show was there and we were supposed to go home the next day after broadcasting midday, supposed to catch a flight on the day of game seven. And the night after game six, when they won it, I said, I can't leave here. I can't leave Cleveland for game seven of the World Series. You want me to catch a flight in the middle of the afternoon and go home? Are you kidding me? So I didn't, but I needed a ride, needed a way to get back because the boss, Mitch Rosen, said, you need to broadcast on Thursday morning. You need to broadcast from the station right here in the building I am in the studio that I am in. You need to broadcast from there on Thursday morning. And I said, how am I going to get there? He said, I don't know. And I found a way to get here, found a way to get a plane ride back in one of the more fortuitous moments of anybody's life. Got offered a seat and was able to make it back here and be here. And then to see the parade and to be there, Jason Goff and I, partners at the time, sitting there on the media part of the dais over there off to the right at Grant Park while millions and millions and millions of people celebrated the biggest gathering of humanity outside of the Vatican, right? I believe that it was the biggest gathering of humans at anything not associated with a pope. Imagine if the White Sox won, how big that crowd would be, right? So, I mean, to be there for that, it's just unbelievable. And then all the other things along the way that I was fortunate enough to experience, that year means a lot to me. And I know it means a lot to a lot of you. And it always, always will. I'm not one of those people who had to go to the cemetery and listen to a game on the radio with my late relative who was, you know, hoping for it to happen from above or below. I'm one of those people who was lucky enough to be there with my dad and my brother and my wife. And the good fortune is absurd. So a lot of memories that come back. It's triggering, to be honest with you. It's triggering in all of the good ways and the problematic ways to think about that team and that World Series. And it's just, it's heavy is what it is. There's a heaviness to it. And to see all those players back and them having a lightness about it was beautiful. A lot of joy at the ballpark over the weekend, and a lot of joy in watching it, but a lot of heaviness too, because there's life and there's death and there's dreams and ego and there's all that stuff that gets involved as well. But man, it's worth celebrating and worth leaning into. So I hope you've had a chance to lean into it and feel it in all of the ways that matter to you over the course of this week. I was at the Chicago Theater on Thursday for the Lovable Reunion Live, and it was just amazing. John Boog-Shambi did a great job. And there on the stage next to Boog were, in order, Madden, Ross, Rizzo, Lester, Arrieta, Montero, and Dexter Fowler. In the crowd were Lackey and Hamill and Travis Wood. When they got to the point where they were going to talk about the speech from Game 7, Jason Hayward came out and sat down. And I'll tell you, one of the best moments of the whole night was when Boog asked Jason Hayward what he wanted to say about the speech. And Hayward, before he said anything, said, hey, I want to take a moment to celebrate Joe Maddon, baseball man, a great baseball man. We wouldn't have been there without him. We wouldn't have won it without him. And everybody needs to value him as long as we got him here. I mean, that was unbelievably beautiful because Hayward being honest about Joe's strategy was a big deal then. It's a big deal now. It's a conversation piece. So Jason making sure to give love to Joe Maddon was absolutely incredible, an indelible moment I won't forget. And towards the end of that thing, Boog said, I think there's some questions from people in the crowd. Do we have a question? Okay, let's go to this kid over here. And it was Pete Crow Armstrong sitting there in the stands, in the seats of the Chicago Theater with a microphone. And he asked a question to the Lovable Reunion guys after praising them. He said, what allowed you guys to come together to win the World Series? And what is your favorite part about celebrating this World Series? I think that's what it is. I'm paraphrasing. And it was quite a moment. So I'm not sure if I'm remembering correctly. And they answered it. But I'll tell you, the other coolest moment of the night was when Miguel Montero at that point said to Pete, hey, keep doing what you're doing. I would buy a ticket to watch you play. Miguel Montero said that to PCA. It was awesome. And that was just a really cool bit of connectivity between today's team and the team from 10 years ago. And then Eddie Vedder came out and sang his song, Someday We'll Go All the Way, in front of the players singing along and the crowd singing along. It was pretty remarkable. And it's the 10-year anniversary. You know they'll be back for a 20, and things will have changed. People will have aged, you know. Things will have evolved, as they do. And you hope that they're not going to turn into the 85 Bears with no other Super Bowl since, meaning that it gets imbued with a sense of organizational failure a little bit, because the 85 Bears did, right? Because can't we get another one? Shouldn't there be another one? And there hasn't been. You hope that the Cubs aren't alone, that this team doesn't live alone for the next 30 years as a World Series champ. I suspect they won't, but you never know. But either way, just a remarkable weekend, a beautiful reunion, well executed by all those people involved, and really, really cool to see and be reminded of everything that that year meant to all of you and to me. So just a remarkable time. Hit and Run is being brought to you by Wildfire Restaurants with 5 Chicagoland locations. We thank Wildfire for being a part of it. Let's let you hear from John Lester with Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. Here's John Lester sitting with David Haugh and with Bruce Levine yesterday, talking about that team, talking about his career, and this reunion on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday here on The Score.
It wasn't that dramatic. I had already signed, and we were at Bub City with Theo, and kind of worked out that deal that night. So I was already here, and I just wanted him here. I knew, you know, seeing what he did in Boston and how he helped that clubhouse so much with a pretty strong veteran presence there already, and then him coming in and really helping kind of solidify that and kind of the goal and the objective that we were trying to do. So I knew how important he was in that realm. And then talking with Theo and stuff, you know, being so young over here, I knew that a veteran presence like Rossi and understanding his role, understanding what his job is, I just felt like, you know, I didn't care about his OPS, you know, and it wasn't
right.
And it wasn't because we worked well together. I just knew that in the clubhouse, being around Riz, being around, you know, these potential young guys coming up, Javi, KB, all these guys, that he could really help them, you know, learn how to be a big leaguer.
And yet David Ross's contract was probably one of the more unique negotiations.
It was incredible.
While you were at, what, 2 in the morning, wee hours of the morning, Theo was drinking a beer on the phone, you call Rossi and basically got a 2-year deal for him.
Got him a 2-year deal. I was not able to get him a suite on the road. He still yells at me for that, but Jay Hay took care of him the next year on that.
I would have liked to have been Ross's agent when he was told that the deal is done.
From what I've heard, he wasn't happy. but yeah, it was fun. I mean, that's what makes Theo unique, though. I mean, he's an old school, new school baseball mind, and the simple fact that we sat there you know, in a bar over a couple cold ones and did something like that was pretty cool.
Everybody here watching you, everybody here listening to Tom Ricketts and Joe Maddon, and they think of Game 7. When their mind may go a certain place or maybe a certain sequence, where does yours go? What do you think of when they bring up Game 7, whether it's a celebration, whether it's your role in that game, where does your mind go?
Well, game 7 for me was just what I think of as chaos, personally, just because of that, you know, being kind of put in that situation or asked to be put in that situation with coming out of the bullpen and something I wasn't used to, hadn't done in a long time. And pitching for this organization, you obviously know what's on the line on game 7. So, you know, obviously not wanting to go in and suck and give it up and
try not to suck, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, now you're in the line of the GOAT and Bartman, and now you got Lester, and it's like, damn, that sucks. But no, I mean, I just it chaos and then just pure excitement once it was done.
Yeah. The way that you guys didn't feel that anybody in that clubhouse, whether it was Tom Hellman or Gary Stark or any of those guys, were lesser than you, that you guys were a unit. And then when you went in to vote for shares, guys stood up and had long conversations, I'm told, about why we must take care of everybody in this circumstance. That showed an awful lot to me as a reporter and as a fan about how much you did care about everybody.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's important in life, right? Like, I don't care what your job is, what you do. You're a human being, right? Treat them with respect. And just because this guy, you know, picks your jock up and washes your towels and puts it back in your locker doesn't mean he's any lesser than you. He's actually probably more important than you. You know, we just go out and get to play a game and be on TV. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge thing. You have to treat people with respect. And some of my best friends to this day are the clubhouse guys here in Chicago still. So I think that speaks volumes for that entire group is what they did. They stood up. They made sure the people, all people that work for this organization, big, small, or indifferent, were taken care of. And when you have that opportunity, when you get the opportunity to play in the postseason, regardless of how far you go, and you get the opportunity to give people a share of potential life-changing money.
No question.
That's really important to me. And, you know, Riz was one of the guys, you know, I mean, you can go down the list. It wasn't like somebody stood up and was like, we're not giving these people money. Everybody in the room was on board with what we were doing. And I think that just speaks volumes for this group as a whole.
That's John Lester. It's beautiful stuff that they took care of everybody that way. And Lester's a really, really interesting and genuine dude. He really is. As are several of the people on that team, man. I mean, David Ross is a really interesting and genuine dude. And I don't know these guys super well like I'm their teammate, but I have gotten a chance to know a bunch of them as a media person and also just in some other settings, you know, whether it's playing music with the Hot Stove Cool Music events or just kind of hanging out, you know, in the clubhouse or whatever. And it's like, and so many of them are like really seemingly kind and genuine people, just like Nico Horner, you know, just like Ian Happ. And when I, you know, when those of us who try to be honest about who we see and what we get to know and who we get to learn, you know, say so, you can know that like Nico's a beautiful guy. Seeing him go 4-for-4 yesterday, you heard it from me, David Dykstra, when I was talking about Nico going 4-for-4. I'm pumped. I'm excited for that guy. Want to see him turn it on for the betterment of the team, but also because he's a very, very good dude. It is 104.3 The Score Speaks here with you. Craig Counsell talked pregame. We will bring some of that to you, and there's some Shohei Ohtani news we'll share as well before we get out of here for Judson Richards and pregame coming up next on The Score.
Let's get back to more Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Break Breaking news on the score is sponsored by IDOT. Running late, speeding won't save you time. No need to spend. It's not a game. Shohei Ohtani is not going to pitch anytime soon for the Dodgers. He's got a knee. Supposed to start on Wednesday, but he continues to feel discomfort in the left knee while playing catch this weekend. He noticed that. And folks, that left knee, that's what he lands on when he pitches. It's a righty after all. Dave Roberts said that it's going to be some time before Ohtani is back on the bump. This is according to the California Post. Quote, his knee, we just want to continue to give it the best chance to kind of get into a good spot. It's the pitching and the torque of landing on that leg that kind of gets it upset. So he's not made a start since July 3rd, and the 32-year-old Ohtani will not be resuming pitching duties anytime soon. They had given it some treatment. He's in the lineup today. They're playing in New York against the Yankees, and he already has an RBI double and a score to run. So the knee's okay to do that. And he's good at the hitting thing. He's good at that. So they're just going to let him do that. I wonder what this does to the MVP odds for Pete Crow Armstrong.
That was my question. Is PCA now moving up?
I wouldn't say favorite. I wouldn't say favorite, but I would say that you might want to get in right now. If you believe Pete is going to remain the superstar that he is, you might want to get in now on your PCA MVP bets, said the guy who is going to try and remember to do that when we take a break. 312-644-6767 is the number. Enjoyed kind of going back and thinking about my 2016 Cubs memories from a personal perspective and sharing them with you because I needed it. It was therapeutic to think all that stuff through. Triggering in so many great ways to see the team this week being around everywhere. This is Doc Mike on 104.3 The Score. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Great. Just wanted to go over my 2016 disaster. I went to both Billy Goat Taverns to figure out whether the Cubs were going to win in 2016. And they said, no, they are not going to win. They didn't do it in 45, and it's been 108 years. It'll be 109 next year. Now, we've had a drought for the last 10 years. They haven't sobered up yet. But I bet a buddy of mine that if the Cubs win the World Series, I will tattoo a Cubby bear on my left chest over my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was a salesman for Dr. Pepper.
Don't care.
If he won, he'd buy a pizza and some Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Guess what? I got the tattoo.
Do you have the tattoo? Do you really, Doc Mike?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. You know, I've been with the Score since 1992.
I know.
When the Score was born.
I remember, Doc Mike.
Yeah, I'm banned from the Score because
Hey, Doc. Well, I remember. I've had my hand on the dump button since the moment I clicked the button to talk to you. I know who you are. Do you deserve to still be banned? What do you think?
Do you deserve what?
Do you deserve to still be banned?
I'm into sports. I'm a trainer. I've got
children. I remember that. I don't want to hear about the training stuff and the steroids. I just cut you off. Doc Mike, thank you for that story. I have no idea what to believe from you. We never have. That's the problem, is it always has sounded like some version of BS. But thank you, Doc Mike. Long time guy. I remember taking those calls decades ago. Unbelievable. Craig Counsell spoke pregame before this Cubs game that's going to start very soon against the Minnesota Twins. The Cubs made a move yesterday, acquiring pitcher Aaron Civale, former White Sox, former Brewer, former Cub. Now back with the Cubs. Made a move to get Civale from the A's. Will he be a starter? Will he be a bulk guy? Will he be a reliever? He's a Cub. This is Craig Counsell pregame talking about it.
The addition of Civale, what can you say about the move and what he'll add to your staff?
Yeah, I think just over the next couple weeks, looking at the innings puzzle, knowing that, you know, we've got 16 games in a row and knowing we're going to need innings, just making sure we're covered from that perspective.
Kind of the case with Pomeranz, but when you get a guy that can step in who's already familiar with your staff and you're familiar with, how much does that just help kind of hit the ground running?
I think it makes it easier for Aaron for sure. He's just going to be here, and you know, he's struggled of late for sure, and so we'll take a look at that and probably shorten up his outings and go from there.
When will he be here?
Next couple days.
When you mentioned, like, if you struggle late and you want to work with, what's the balance there where you want to look at him, but also got to get him out there and give you innings?
Well, he's going to be active, so he's going to pitch.
Right. But just when you said there's things maybe you want
to. I think we're just, yeah, I mean, look, this just happened, so I don't know if a lot of work's completely been done, but he was on the injured list. Came off the injury list the last, and then he's kind of struggled since he's come off the injury list a little bit. So that's kind of what we're working on right now, and try to diagnose that and see if there's anything we can do to help him there.
I know we've asked a lot of these types of questions, and even about Webb, but just the way that he continues to step up, and you know, guys embracing the role and even the unknown in the pen, and what you've seen out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jacob's been, you know, amidst all the change and all the turnover, Jacob's been a real consistent presence down there, and he's, he's taking the ball kind of whenever and really oftentimes kind of been the most important spot in the game, and he's handled that part really, really well. He's been available, he's been durable, he's pitched two inning saves, pitched in the seventh inning, you know, whatever. So he's been really important in putting kind of this puzzle together. He's having a really nice season.
Do you have a setup for the Tigers series yet for the rotation?
Anticipate Taillon being activated tomorrow, and pitching, and then Peterson and Colin Ray.
So Jameson's obviously feeling well. What was the last thing he needed to do to be put back in the rotation?
Yeah, he pitched in Iowa last week, so he'll be a little bit somewhat limited, not tremendously limited, but somewhat limited, and just go from there. He's healthy.
It's Craig Counsell talking before the game today. Shota Imanaga against Zebby Matthews. My first baseball Zebby. I think it's my first anything Zebby. I was trying to think. I don't know that I've ever encountered a Zebby in any walk of life. It's funny, in baseball, in Chicago, there was a Zebby just a few years ago, the catcher Zebby Zavala. But like, if I just Google Zebby, right, there's no way Zebby Matthews isn't first. Like, is there some other Zebby? Let's see. Nope. You Google Zebby, and every single search result is Zebby Matthews. Do you guys know he went to Western Carolina and led the Southern Conference with 122 strikeouts in 2022? Do you guys know that about Zebby Matthews? Yeah, me neither. Let's see if I go to the second batch of search results. Nope, it's all Zebby Matthews. Zebulon. I knew a guy named Zebulon. That must be his name, right? Zebulon is a cool name. And Zebulon is indeed a rare masculine given name of Hebrew origin, meaning dwelling or honor. Love that. Zeb. So I knew a couple Zebs growing up, but I don't know that there's ever been a Zebulon in baseball before Zebby Matthews. So congrats to him. And really all of you Zebs out there. If you're a Zeb or you know a Zeb or you're a Zebby, then, you know, congratulate each other. This has been a pleasure today to work with you on Hit and Run. It always is. A full slate of baseball going on, including the White Sox, who are already well underway. They're winning 1-0 right now in Toronto. Sean Burke is pitching well. Treya Savage is pitching well. What a weird thing. After 12 runs on Friday, the White Sox with none yesterday and one so far. And with the trade deadline approaching, next week should be pretty fun on Hit and Run. And then we get another one. We get two more Sundays before the deadline because the deadline is not till August 3rd. One deadline, not two. And it's not till the 3rd of August. So that'll be very interesting to see whether it is indeed a dud or not. Lawrence Holmes will be back on Monday for the Spiegel and Holmes show. That's tomorrow, and we will resume tomorrow doing all the things that we do in the afternoon. Thank you for that segment at the top of the hour when I had a chance to kind of process the 2016 stuff as it has gone on. Looking forward to getting out there and enjoying the day. I had that moment earlier on in the hour when I wondered if it was still nice out. Because I haven't been out since the morning, and it looks really nice out. Texters hooked me up. Speaks, I'm up in Mundelein. It's 75 degrees and sunny. It's a perfect summer day. Thank you very much. Thank you for helping me with that. Crazy Dave said, it's very nice out. Little hazy, but very nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Several other texters. You asked how it's nice, how it is outside. I told the wife it's nice outside. And she yelled back and said, it's not that nice. Thank you for bringing me in on your relationship. That's beautiful. Thank you to David Dykstra for the work on today's episode of Hit and Run, and for Tyler Buterbaugh as well with all the extra work that you do. Thank you to our guest on the show, Eno Saris, and thanks for everyone involved in Inside the Clubhouse for those interviews that were really lovely to hear and to bring to you. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Enjoy it. Embrace it. There's the sun popping out. I can't wait to go out there and ride a bicycle. Have a great day, everybody. Be back with you tomorrow on Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.